Welcome to the first Sunday show of 2025 with Neil DeBeer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Dacus, it's good to be back in 2024. We did a bit of a snippet this week just to touch and go, but officially, this is our first Sunday show for the year. So many messages, so many people saying that they're waiting for us to come back. So the show is really become something that people are looking forward to. There are a few people, you know, you get a couple that are not saying that we are saying that we must, but here's a relief to them, a discipline and move on. But for our thousands of other viewers, this is going to be a hell of a year. We're going to do a couple of other things, and we're not revealing it at this moment, Chris, but we are going to ensure that the truth reigns. And that more and more we notice that people are sending us some cases, some pieces of information, and one or two whistleblowers. So Chris, that gives us comfort that people are starting to actually trust the show, because it does bring the truth. It culminates in assembling what's going on every week in the country, and we do not want to just look upon those people that trust us in that matter and wave them on. It is welcomed, and we will do our damnedest.
Neil, may we start with President Cyril Ramaphosa's January 8 address in Khayelitsha yesterday?
Yeah, you weet iemand het enough for my gesê dat like for my just kakots in a tumble dryer. You know, you have no bloody idea what is going to pop out of this fracas. Chris, I saw it, and as a person whom you know, have history, this must be one of the smallest, one of the most weakest assembly of showing of critical mass that I have seen in the ANC in the 30 years that I have been on terra firma. And I think if you look at the mood, if you look at the people's expressions, if you look at the Paul Mashatile incident, where people actually rebuke and say, get out of my house, where social media, twittering on X and all other platforms, it was a rejection. And for them to say that they claimed that they were back coming back to Cape Town to get to grassroots, hey, the roots have been here for quite some time. And Chris, the sitting back of myself having to prepare for this show, I explicitly looked at some key points that Cyril would have to address. Now, I'll open by addressing one of the writers that wrote to us and says, but you know, you are continually bashing the ANC, it seems, and you are not looking at other parties like the DA and the IFP. Nay. They are the one that are prevalent at the moment. They're the 113-year-old celebration, and therefore the focus is on them. Make no mistake, late in the year, we shall go to the others. But at this current moment, we are focusing on the African National Congress having to make a statement. Now, what do you as a president of a political party, Chris, that has actually failed? We can't argue that fact. You went from 58% to 40. You have governed for 30 years. Therefore, sorry, the people are going to have the pickings at you. And Cyril gets up and makes one of the most fundamental statements. And it's a harsh statement that then hits the headlines, where he says, either the African National Congress renews itself, Chris, this is his words, or they perish. Now, just stop there. The president of the ANC, who happens to be the president of this country, says to his own political party, if you don't renew now, you will perish. Chris, this is a fundamental truth. And he couldn't say anything else, because it showed on the scoreboard that this is a fact. But then he starts focusing at just 5 points that we'll bring in here, which absolutely aligns itself to what those two words, renew or perish, actually brought out into that crowd. I must tell you, I sigh a better kind of relief, because you remember last year we ended off by saying ANC has to accept they are in trouble. And if they don't, and if they don't come out and say we are in trouble, then they are going to die. It's as if Cyril has come to the crowd to say, my name is Cyril Ramaphosa and I am a such and such, and I would like to address. So the word renewal has been used in the past, but not perish. He then says, on the secondary point, that they have to focus to not lose the alliance. And he says so, Chris, because we now know that in the December month, they, as the South African Communist Party, the SACP, has decided at their executive to withdraw by standing outside the next election, and that they seemingly are going to contest the elections as the SACP themselves. That means that the tripartite alliance between the ANC, the Communist Party, and KUSATU, in other words, the Workers' Union, the communist entity, and the ANC, that is breaking up for the first time in 113 years. You might see the SACP on their same ballot. Now, people will say, but Neil, the communism system is over, and are the SACP really relevant? And yes, they are. They've been intertwined with each other for decades. And a lot of the people that are within the working class segment also are members of the Communist Party. So it's about bums on seats, it's boots on the ground, and there's the crack. So he made a point of it to say that he will replenish and try to keep the alliance going. And then finally, the last 2 points. I told you that the ANC is built on the strength of its branches. And in his speech on Saturday, he acknowledged that the branches have collapsed and are weak. He also admitted the poor service delivery. He admitted the fact that they could not get those deliveries done. And he also then said that one of the biggest reasons of the decline of the ANC, I'm just segmenting through this, is the mere fact of unemployment. And then he touches the GNU. And his last point he makes is a very strategic sentence to me. It lays the foundation, as far as I am concerned, on the next couple of years of the GNU rule. And what does he call the GNU? He says, please know that the ANC and the GNU, it is merely a tactical initiative. So there you are, Chris. The total speech he did on Saturday, segmented here for you. Very interesting. The normal cape and cutting and screaming and singing went on. But I think the ANC is starting to face reality, and stark reality so. With this sudden attack now of Fikile Mbalula against Tony Yengedi, which is a public attack now, is also showing that, as Fikile says, I will charge anybody and everyone who does not lay its solemn base and loyalty to the ANC. So that is the ANC's rock start for the year, and I think if it starts that way, interesting things to come across.
Now, Khayelitsha, where the president made his speech, has also become the battleground between Vice President Paul Mashatile and Democratic Alliance Federal Chair Ms. Helen Ziller.
Yeah, he goes and he stands in the middle of Khayelitsha, making sure that the cameras can see the mounds and heaps of rubbish behind him. Then he says, what's behind him is the proof that the DA City Council of Cape Town has absolutely no regard for the poor, and says that because there are such a tantamount amount of ministers of national regard around him, that it seemingly must be that the ANC must come back to Cape Town to fix things which the DA Cape Town cannot do. What a plonker. I mean, if you look at this man, you know, it's like he hit himself with a Bauer nonstick pan against his bloody head. I would like him to go to any of the informal settlements in the country right now. Diepsloot, Kwatema, Soweto, Langa, Khayelitsha.
His home ground.
Go stand there. So if I must go take a telephone camera and go stand in front of every rubbish dump that you can currently find in the country, then I will probably run out of bandwidth or data. What an absolute idiotic move. And the worst is, Chris, he's standing in that scenario and it's an ANC councillor's ward. Now the other thing is, Chris, is this the political shot that you should shoot? Is that a rubbish dump? And it's an ANC councillor's ward, and he never asks who put the rubbish there. So I think when I saw this little trilogy of pathetic tit for tat, I wanted to tell him, but Mr. Mashatile, take your jacket off and put the rubbish in your boot. Because, by the way, the car you are driving is paid for by state. So that was the shots that they now started to fire. Chris, I am a councillor of the city of Cape Town, by the way. And I can tell you that every day, the shocking news, by the way, is that when we sometimes send in our rubbish trucks to remove rubbish, we have to send the police with to escort. So, Mr. Mashatile, before you go stand in front of rubbish heaps to rubbish another party, maybe you should start asking your councillors and your ministers to come into your area and change their attitude, to change the fundamental problems we have as a society, to ask people not to burn stuff, not to just throw stuff, but to educate. Because I am seeing an era where ambulances and fire trucks and rubbish trucks have to be escorted by police officers to go do that service delivery. So Mr. Mashatile is trying to be relevant. He's trying to give those digging shots because he cannot let the GNU go on, because it will make him irrelevant. So yeah, the firing shots happened on the ground, but let me tell you, it was hitting a buffalo with a ketty of an afgesaagde Windbuck's air gun. Made nothing, actually just made him more pathetic.
Meanwhile, the economic freedom fighters have been dealt another big blow with the voluntary resignation of two MPs, including Dr. Ndlozi.
Well, Chris, there goes the two anchor points for the tow track, ne? You know, when you do tow track, you have to have fundamentally two big anchors that will actually anchor this rope in between the rest of the people trying to get position. Now, if you look at that, the two anchor men that were anchoring the EFF without any doubt and without any argument was Floyd Shivambu and Dr. Ndlozi. Those were the two. And if you looked at their roles, you would have found that the role of Floyd Shivambu was to ensure that the branches, that the structure of the EFF is in place. And you would have found that Ndlozi was the political commissar. He's absolutely not an idiot. He's absolutely a great mind, Ndlozi, in actual fact. And people recognize that. He's a very intelligent human being. And I found that if you look at the pyramid scenario of the EFF, you had the political face, Julius Malema, and you had Floyd and Ndlozi. When Floyd left, it disanchored that rope. Julius can say what he wants to. Floyd Shivambu was a loss to the EFF's future and structure. We all knew when Floyd goes, Ndlozi would go. because he was basically treated like the lapdog, the go-get coffee boy. And that was actually printed in statements before how Julius treated in-laws. But when you take in-laws in, you put him into parliament with the EFF, he was the wind that was carrying the EFF air. You know, he used to get up and at times actually make sense. And his departure is not a surprise. His absent sheet at their last conference last year was clear. And already then, the utterings from Julius was disrespectful towards him. So finally, he's now resigned. He's out. Big question. Where is he going? And I now find within our media conclave, either one, he will join an academic institution. You know, his doctorate that he had is not bought. It's a real one. So he might go find himself in political studies, or is he going to MK? This is the big question.
Neil, let's go abroad quickly to the States, where President-elect Donald Trump has given new meaning to the phrases survival, especially legal and political comeback.
Oh, he is a survivalist. I mean, every single day, people will say, why do we talk about Trump? And why do we focus sometimes on the USA? Well, he's got 9 days to go. He's being inaugurated on the 20th. A couple of days ago, though, we thought this man's going to jail because there was this Harachat judge that just decided to hell with society. He has been found guilty and he's going to actually sentence him 10 days before his inauguration. And I must tell you, Chris, the laugh around the table was, if he sentences him to jail, he's going to ask the clone of Biden to give him a reprieve so that he can get inaugurated and then he can charge the judge. Because there's one thing that I know. Donald Trump doesn't forgive. Donald Trump takes revenge. But that little circle of all pardoning all was so funny at the end of the day that we were saying, will this judge sentence him? Will he give him jail term? So the outcome, no, he hasn't. He is going to get inaugurated. And Chris, there can be no doubt of our listeners and our viewers here that Trump is a person that draws attention, that he does have an impact on the country, and absolutely further than the borders of the United States. So our question will be, as Africa, as South Africa, what will the approach be? Or will there just be an absolute lapse of non-interest? But I don't think so. So I predict an America that's going to intervene drastically in Europe, an America that will poke their nose now directly in a different direction, Ukraine and Russia. Without a doubt, he has a huge appetite for the Middle East going on. He said so. His statement was, before I take office, certain people must do certain stuff. And his actual words were, or they will have hell to pay. A reporter then said to him, but Mr. President, what is hell? And he didn't define it. He just said, I don't have to explain that to you. So he's already poking big sticks. Us as the mere South African scenario, I think we are looking more at the economic scenario impact of an America on us, the Algoa treatment that is there. But also, just don't be surprised if America looks at us and says to this government, the GNU, that we do not like your stance in the Middle East. And we do not like what you have done. And you will have pressure from us to change your attitude. And finally, I also think the third, so one will definitely be his attitude towards us economically. Secondly, our certain points of view and affiliations with our friends, which are not their friends. And lastly, do not forget BRICS. BRICS has become 5 times the size it was. And the total BRICS conclave now of Brazil and Russia and India, South Africa, Saudi, all of them now involved, are totally against the American economy and currency. And what did he say? If you guys start your own monetary system, then you will be going into an economic war. So, Chris, this is important to discuss because continually there are so many variants coming from this inauguration. But let me tell you, it's going to be something where you need to get your Coca-Cola first and your popcorn, because I'm telling you, Trump is a movie on his own.
Quite. Lastly, Neil, closer to home, across the border in Mozambique, have you had an update on the security situation there?
Yes, because in actual fact, a friend of mine that shared some time with me in the uniform and in the intelligence community retired in a little town in the north of Mozambique called Pemba. Now, Pemba is up to the north, more up to the coastline. Also a place that had its violence when the ISIL situation broke in the north, the gas and the oil scenario wrecked it. He is now still there. He's got a resort kind of camp there, and I speak to him once a week. It has calmed down in the sense of the sporadic burning and the sporadic destruction of property, which was, I think, in my opinion, the shocking views that we were getting. Chris, there's a lot of South Africans in Mozambique. You'll be surprised because a lot of people went to go farm there. A lot of people have resorts there. And it is a favorite holiday destination. So obviously, I think this year they suffered because of the fear and because of what was happening. A lot of tourists didn't go. They withdrew. And that is one of their biggest economies at the end of the day. But what we now hear is that the thing that irked me, and Chris, I would like to get it off my chest, if I may. No one has ever said to people that we cannot have the right to protest. No one says to you that in the Constitution you do not have freedom of speech. If you do not like something, you have the right to protest. And we come from a country, Chris, you and I have experienced so many protests that happen over so many long term of facets. We understand it. And it's enshrined, by the way, in our Constitution. And so it is in Mozambique. But this trend, Chris, which I don't get, is you take a protest and then you burn a building down. You take a protest and then you loot a shop. You take a protest and you go kill people. And then afterwards, you want to then demand that the school that you burned down because you didn't have enough teachers, that we should do that. That you don't have food, but you burned down a business. Chris, this doesn't mix with me. And it's a trend not just in South Africa, not just in Mozambique, but in Europe. You could have seen France when the major matters of the Muslim marches and the Islamic Palestine scenario came and started burning businesses in Berlin. This is a new thing, Chris. Maybe not new, but it is. I want to get it off my chest. This is not what we are standing for. And they started to burn down Maputo. And this is a thing that people should understand. If that country sneezes, South Africa gets the flu. So if something happens drastically in Zim, drastically Angola, drastically in Mozambique, we cannot go shush. And I think that this country has an obligation to interfere. I know that we sent an emissary and we will be watching what goes on there. But one thing I must tell you, it's a beautiful country. And it is too beautiful to just let it die and let it burn. So it calmed a bit, but I don't think it will ever go away because this is a historic political rivalry that will continue and continue. But we give a massive shout out and our hearts and prayers to the people of Mozambique. And then obviously, Chris, just one more, major fires in California, LA, seeing the pictures coming through. This is not a small thing. It might be America, it might be on the TV all the time, but shocking and and our hearts and minds to so many other places in the world that we will be addressing this year and that are important.
Indeed. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday Show with BizNews. I'm Chris Stain. Thank you, Neil.